Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review tonight. We're going to be concluding the course, Who Jesus Is, with session number 10, Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, this session will help the student understand the authority and the recognition that Jesus has as Lord and the impact of this upon his or her life. And as we always do, we're going to pray a special prayer tonight as we conclude this course. We're going to pray that God would do a special work during this last session review. And we're going to ask the Lord, all of us together, we're going to ask the Lord to minister to the hidden needs of our staff members and our students. And again, as you go through the lesson this week, we want you to be sure that you've studied the scripture texts that were related to the material that you studied in your study guide. And also, we want to encourage you to try to memorize at least 5 scripture verses during the week. So let us go ahead and seek God in prayer now, students. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. We ascribe worth to you, Father, for you alone are worthy of all the glory, honor, and praise. We worship and magnify and exalt the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that moves in our midst even now. We thank you, Father, that you're ministering to the hidden needs of our hearts. Right now, Father, bring inspiration, illumination unto us. Bring us revelation, O God, of your word and of the reality of Christ being Lord and Master and Ruler over our lives. And we give you glory and praise now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord, students. Again, I welcome you to our lesson summary review. Tonight, we're going to cover the final lesson in our course entitled Who Jesus Is. This is session number 10, Jesus Christ the Lord. And now, as we think about the introduction for this week's lesson review, I'd like to comment that often people picture Christ as a baby in a manger or as Jesus hanging on the cross. But these pictures are inadequate to portray Christ as Lord. If you were to read Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, we'll see a picture of Christ who has been given all authority in heaven and earth. So if you haven't already made note of that, make note of this, Revelation chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, and see the picture of Christ triumphant, the one who has all authority in heaven and earth. And as you get a picture in your mind of what this scripture is talking about, I want you to compare this picture with the picture of God the Father that is presented in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Compare those two scripture verses together, and you'll see that the same attributes of the Father apply to the Son, Jesus. If you were to look at Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, you can read of the authority, glory, and power that the Father has bestowed upon the Son. So when you look at these texts of scripture, students, this is the Lord we will come to know and understand in eternity. This is the Lord before whom every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see a reference for that in Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. Verses 10 through 11. So, students, as we think about this lesson entitled Jesus Christ is Lord, one day Christ is coming again to rule and to reign over all, to establish the kingdom of God. So, as we go into this week's lesson review, we want you to know that not only will Christ reign, but there will be those who will reign with him when he returns. He's going to return in glory, saints. He's And this is why it's important for us, if we haven't already done so, to make Him Lord of our lives right now. It's not enough to identify ourselves as Christian, but we must identify with Christ, and that is by making Him Lord. So I want to ask this question for each and every one of you to think about, but you don't have to answer right now. Is Christ Lord of your life? I want you just to think about that as we go through this lesson summary review. Now, let's look at our first section of our lesson that the study guide presented to us. And that section, if you're taking notes, is Jesus has authority as Lord. The first thing our study guide pointed us to was to understand the title of authority. Let's understand the title of authority by which Jesus operated while in the earth. So here our first objective asks us to identify the meaning of the title Lord when it's applied to Jesus. And as your study guide pointed you to, I want you to note that the title Lord is from the Greek translation Kurios, of the covenant name God, which is pronounced Yahweh in the Old Testament. If you want to refresh your memory on this subject, you can look at what we discussed in session number 5. So the title Lord is the predominant designation for Jesus. It describes to Him the functions of deity. It ascribes to Him that He is God, He is ruler, He is master over all things. This is why we see in scripture text where it says that there's no other name that man can call upon to be saved other than the name of Jesus, which represents Lord, Master, and Ruler. So I also like to explain to you students, as our study guide pointed out to us, that the title Lord has a twofold meaning. So let's look at the first meaning. First, it speaks of a relationship where Jesus is sovereign over the believer's life. That is, where He is in control and rules our life as a believer. The second aspect of the word Lord or title Lord is that it refers to the sovereignty of Jesus over all men and over all of creation. That second meaning relates to Him as Creator, Redeemer, and Exalted Lord over all. And this is why later on in one of Paul's letters he said that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now at this point our lesson had us to conduct a scripture search on the Lordship of Jesus. And if you're going to take notes, you can write down two particular areas of the Lordship of Jesus that our study guide pointed us to. The first area of Lordship of Jesus is in the area of personal relationship. Personal relationship. And I'm going to give you some scriptures for you to review and look over and what they speak in regards to Christ's Lordship. So under personal relationship, you can make note of John chapter 20, verses 24 to 28, where you will see Thomas acknowledges Jesus as his Lord. You can also make note of Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, when Saul heard a voice from heaven, he answered, Lord, what would you have me to do? John chapter 21, verses 20 to 23. We see Peter addresses Jesus as Lord after his resurrection. Let me give you two more. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. We see Paul preaches Jesus Christ as Lord and not himself. And then the final text of scripture you can look at is Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, as well as verse 13, where we'll see Paul said to the Romans that those who confess Jesus is Lord will be saved. So the scripture references that I just gave you talks to the aspect of Jesus' authority as Lord, the title, what that title Lord represents, and particularly in the section we just recently discussed is what does that mean in the area of personal relationships. So we see several scriptures that were written to early believers about the personal relationship, the nature of a personal relationship with Jesus, and not just a general relationship or knowledge of him. Now, the second aspect of Jesus' authority speaks to this general lordship of Jesus as ruler of the world. So the first section, if you take notes, it dealt with personal relationship. The second section would deal with ruler of the world. So he relates to believers who place their faith in him in one way, but he is still Lord over those who do not confess in him, for they will be subject to him when he begins to rule and reign. So let's talk about the aspect of Christ's lordship as ruler of the world. Here's some more scripture texts I want to give you. You can make note of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, where we see Paul says, through Christ the Lord, all things were created. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, we see the writer says that Jesus is both Lord and Christ, and he provides salvation for all. Now, he provides the salvation for all, but not all will accept his life as the gift of salvation. But he provides salvation for all. That's in Acts 2, 36. That's a part of Christ's lordship and his recognition as Christ, the Anointed One. Let's make note of another scripture. Romans chapter 14, verse 9. We'll see again where Paul wrote that Christ is Lord of both the dead and the living. Let's make note of another one. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, where Paul says to the church in Philippi that all will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. And one final scripture text we want to give you about Jesus has authority as Lord is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. Where Paul again says to the church in Corinth that all are accountable to the Lord. Whether they believe, place their faith in him or not, Christ is not only Lord over those who have placed their faith in him, he is Lord over all men, over all of creation. So we want to make note that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to awaken us, or quicken our spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:3, when he talked about this particular aspect of the fact that it is by the Holy Spirit bringing revelation to a person's mind and transforming their hearts and quickening or making their spirit alive again in order to hear the things of God. So this is a confession that is motivated by the Holy Spirit. This is why we can preach and teach to people intellectually, and we can stir their emotions, but still there may be no inward change which results in outward repentance or transformation of life. It is by his Spirit, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So when one confesses Jesus as Lord, it is because he has received him as Lord. Hallelujah. For no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So there we see in this first section, as we studying session 10, Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the final lesson of the course, who Jesus is. So we've taken a look at what the title of authority, the title Jesus means, and the authority that comes with that name. This is why Jesus says to his early disciples, if you ask anything in my name, for now we understand why. His name represents the authority, the power, and the sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. Now let's take a look at another section of our lesson, which deals with the proof of authority. So the second objective asks us to recognize examples of ways in which Jesus proved his authority while on earth. And again, if you have a blank sheet of paper, I'm going to give you six examples that were found in the study guide of how Jesus proved his authority while on earth. And I want you to be able to look at the scripture references that I'm going to give you, which shows how, where, and over what his authority was shown in each of the examples we're going to give you. So again, if you're writing this down, taking notes, write down the proof of authority. And here's number one. Jesus has authority in his teachings. Authority in his teachings. We know that the people said Jesus did not teach as the Pharisees did, but he taught as one having authority, sovereignty, or power over the words that he spoke. You'll find examples of this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, as well as Luke chapter 4, verse 32. A second proof of Jesus' authority is his authority over nature. You see an example in Mark chapter 4, verse 41, and Mark chapter 6, verse 49. A third proof, Jesus has authority over disease and death. We see examples in Luke chapter 4, verse 39, and Mark chapter 7, verses 33 through 34. Here's another one. A fourth proof of his authority is moral authority. We see examples of this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, as well as John chapter 8, verse 46. These scriptures speak of his moral authority. Number five, Jesus has spiritual authority. We see examples of this in Luke chapter 4, verse 36, as well as Luke chapter 9, verses 42 through 43. And then final proof of Jesus' authority we're going to look at is he has authority over the church, that he is the head of the church. That is, he's the head of all those who follow after him. And that is found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. You can also see reference in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. So there I've given you six examples where Jesus proved his authority on earth. And so not only has we so far recognized that Jesus has authority as Lord, as sovereign, as master and ruler, but we understand what the title Jesus or Lord means. And we see in this last instance the proof, six proofs of his authority as outlined in Scripture. Now before we move on to our next session of the lesson, I want to ask you this question. If Jesus has authority over all things, how does this relate to our lives? And I want you to think about that as we continue with the rest of this lesson review. So here our second section of the lesson is going to deal with Jesus is recognized as Lord. Okay, we see in the first section that he has authority as Lord. Now we're going to study what the lesson taught us about how Jesus is recognized as Lord. It's one thing to recognize that Jesus is Lord, but it's another thing to recognize him as Lord. And so the third objective asks us to choose descriptions of how Jesus is Lord now and in the future. In the first instance, the lesson talked to us about that Jesus is head of the church. We just briefly alluded to the fact that he has authority over the church, but Jesus is head of the church. This is one of the ways that we recognize Jesus as Lord. And if you were to write down two scriptures and review them, review Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and also look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, which talks to the fact that Christ is giving gifts to the church, and that we are all living, our body should be a living sacrifice unto God. So I like to point out to you as we look at this section that because the church is one body with Christ as the head, several facts apply to this relationship. And we're going to list some of these points for you now. So again, if you want to make notes, you can write the title, Head of the Church. This is how Jesus is recognized as Lord. And here's the first way that we recognize him as Lord. And it is this. Number one, we must present our bodies as a living sacrifice. You don't have to sacrifice yourself by dying in the physical, but you must die to the flesh and come alive spiritually. So you want to be a living sacrifice. When we present ourselves, our bodies as a living sacrifice, we recognize Jesus as Lord. Number two, we must not be conformed to this world. Number three, we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Number four, each person has a function in the body when we recognize Jesus as Lord. Number five, another way we recognize Jesus as Lord is when we are united in faith and in the knowledge of Christ. Number six, we recognize Jesus as Lord when our goal is Christian maturity. That's the first course of our bachelor's degree program. And the final way that we can show that Jesus is Lord over the church or Lord over our own lives is when we submit to the fact that Christ chooses how we are to function in the church. And again, you will see reference for all these in the scripture text that I ask you to review, which is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 16. You'll see these particular points I just outlined to you talked about in those portions of scripture. So I want you to think about how each of these points affect your daily life. Remember, this is not just about acquiring information and knowledge of what the Bible says, but we want to acquire enough knowledge to establish a right relationship with the one that the Bible says it about. And so in this case, it is talking about who Jesus is, and that Jesus is recognized as Lord as the church when we submit or we accept these truths to be our personal truth. I'm going to give you another scripture reference for you to take a look at before we get ready to conclude this lesson. I want you to read Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. And as you do so, I like to stress that the believer is to be conformed, which means to be made into the image of Christ. This means, students, that we will have his character, attitudes, and mind, his way of thinking. In other words, when we continue to evolve and grow in this way, we will be a mirror image of Christ, the Anointed One, of Jesus the Lord. This is why not only did Christ have authority, but he says to his disciples, "For I have given you authority to tread upon serpents." See, so when we reflect the image of Christ, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, just as Christ operated in the earth. Another section, the final section we're going to look at, not only do we recognize Jesus as Lord when we accept the fact that he is head of the church, but also when we acknowledge him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So if you were to read Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, and particularly take a look at verse 16, and you'll see the triumphant Christ as he returns to rule and to reign over the new heavens and new earth. And also, make note of this one, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. This scripture confirms that Jesus is the one riding the right white horse that is talked about in the scripture from Revelation chapter 19. So again, I want you to compare these two portions of scripture. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16, and John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, where we see that Jesus is the triumphant Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Hallelujah. And also, I want you to make note of this scripture. Make note of Psalm chapter 2, verses 12. Okay, Psalm chapter 2, excuse me, verses 7 through 12. Psalm 2, verse 7 through 12. And you can relate verse 9 of Psalm 2 to Revelation chapter 19, verse 15. You can also make a comparison between Psalm 2 with Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 to 27, where each of these scriptures make reference to the power and authority of Jesus as Lord over all creation. It speaks the fact that he will rule with a rod, which means Christ will have total control, authority, or sovereignty over both man and all of creation. So, as we get ready to conclude this lesson, saints, I pray that you are being encouraged now that when we think about the word Jesus and the title that that represents as Lord, sovereign, God over man and all of creation, it changes our perspective on how we relate to him and how he relates to us, I pray. So, in conclusion, students, I want you to share some of the highlights of what you've learned about Christ as we studied through this lesson about who Jesus is. And I want to encourage you to apply these truths to your personal lives. And I want you to continue your study of Jesus. We're going to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as Paul says. And I also like to remind each and every one of you that one day, all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will all stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I encourage you to be prepared by making peace with God and by being faithful to his leading. And I want to ask each and every one of you, we don't want to assume because you're a student in the Bible college program. I'm going to ask you this question that we asked earlier. Is Christ Lord of your life? If not, do you want him to be? And we'd love to hear from you, students. You can call us or write us by school email. We'd love to pray with you and continue to and stand in agreement with you that your heart will be open to receive God's gift of the Holy Spirit. So as we conclude, let us go ahead and pray now. Father, I thank you. I pray for each and every student, those who may wish to make Jesus both Lord and Savior. I pray that they will be found faithful on the day when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Even now, Father, give strength and encouragement to those who have placed their faith in you. Inspire us to stand firm in faith as we anticipate and await your return. We acknowledge you tonight as Lord over our lives and Lord over all of creation. So we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, students. I pray that this course has been exciting for me to go through this course with you. We will begin another course next week on Tuesday. In the meantime, may you be encouraged, saints, and be blessed in the knowledge that of who Jesus is and accepting him as our personal Savior and Lord. In the meantime, until next week, God bless you all and good night.